Good morning, and welcome to another Tuesday edition of Community Conversations, playing in the morning show time slot. And I'm your host, Phil Huff. Usually with me, my co-host, Julie Callamine, is out today counting birds. And so we have with us in the virtual studio, Jack Peterson. Glad to join you, Jack. It's been a while since we've paired up together here.
Good morning, Phil. Yeah, it has been. I was thinking we see each other in the hallway from time to time, but the last time we were on air together,
pre-COVID,
I'm having a hard time.
Mm-hmm. It was pre-March 2020, and the time frame these days is divided into pre and post March 2020. So,
yeah.
Don't know what your holidays hold. We record these shows. Our listeners know that. And so we're speaking to you after Christmas, before New Year's, but we're coming to you from pre-Christmas. So you have any fun and exciting plans coming up?
Yes, I do. So yes, as you say, this is before Christmas. So hopefully I will have had a successful Christmas Eve and Christmas Day as the listeners hear this. And I will have gotten my grocery shopping done, which right now is weighing heavily on my mind, as well as I need to find a gift for a kind of a white elephant gift exchange. So I have about 24 hours before I need to have that gift in hand. And we'll see what I... Yeah.
There used to be ladies shopping night on the first Friday in December, and then what was called men's shopping night the Friday before Christmas that became procrastinator's night, I think.
Mm-hmm. And I'm pushing even the limits of that at this point. I think I'm just going to go out to, go to one of the local big box stores. Actually, there's a few, and I'll just start at one and just go until I've spent all the money, and then
sure you'll find something,
put it in a bag, and
you'll find something good, I'm sure. So well, it is winter. It's the winter season. We're just coming off of solstice. Also, we're looking forward to the return of light, the return of the new year. And about this time most years, we have on with us folks from the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness to talk about winter programming and such. And we're excited today to have Corey Callahan, the Friends of Scotchman Peaks program coordinator, on the show with us. Good morning, Corey.
Oh, morning, Phil.
So, Jack, why don't you take it away and run with some of the questions we have?
Sure. So before we ask Corey about herself, why don't we start with the big picture and tell us about the organization, the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness. What is the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness, and how did it get started?
Yeah, thanks, Jack. The Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness is a wilderness stewardship organization here in North Idaho and Northwestern Montana. We're committed to connecting people of North Idaho and Northwest Montana with their wild backyard. Scotchman Peaks proposed wilderness areas over in the Cabinet Mountains. And our mission is to pass on a designated wilderness for children and grandchildren of people that live here. And it started in 2005 and as a grassroots effort to get some designated wilderness up here in North Idaho. And we have 10,000 supporters and 618 unique volunteers and 1,100 individual donors. So we're really run by the people here that inhabit these amazing lands that we live on.
Do you happen to know where is the nearest wilderness area? The officially designated wilderness area, Scotchman Peaks not being officially a wilderness area. And I think somebody else in the conversation might know if you don't.
Corey's new and learning all these nooks and crannies, but I'll throw a few bits of trivia out. And of course, longtime listeners will know I'm affiliated with the Friends, but stepping into the role of a general wilderness lover, our closest designated wilderness is the Cabinet Mountains Wilderness, which depending on our listeners and where they live, is either pretty close or, getting to be pretty far away. So there is a need for more wilderness, more close here. The Cabinet Mountain Wilderness holds the distinction of being one of the original areas designated as wilderness by the 1964 Wilderness Act itself. And as such, It stays as the only wilderness in northwest Montana, the northern two counties there. None have been added since 1964.
Hmm. Is there any in what we would call North Idaho?
Nothing north of the Lacsaw River. So the nine northern counties of Idaho have no wilderness areas. So again, looking at the map and the landscape, there's a mm-hmm. big opportunity here for us to add more to the system.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that. I mean, I think everybody around here, I think, would even be surprised by that if they don't know that fact already, that none of this mm-hmm. none of this beautiful country that we're surrounded by is in that particular way is designated as a protected area.
Yeah, that's a
wild area.
That's a good point, Jack. And to come back to Corey, let's hear from her a little bit more about what you're doing for the Friends, Corey, and you know, really how that plays into bringing about wilderness.
Great, thanks. I'm the program coordinator based here in Sandpoint. And basically, if it includes volunteers, it includes me. So I manage the Winter Tracks program, which works with area schools we'll talk about in a little bit later in the program. And then the hiking program, trail stewardship program. So anytime we're interfacing with volunteers, that's me. So if you are a supporter of FSPW, you are going to be getting emails from me asking you to continue to give your time. And how that, you know, wilderness designation, we need to connect with the lands around us. And that's the best way to connect is to get out there and volunteer in the out of doors with us. And then that hopefully builds some of that commitment to supporting us even more in our endeavors.
Yeah.
We on the morning show. I was going to say, on the morning show, we really like to welcome people who are new to our community and find out a little bit more about them. And I think Corey's been here since April. Is that right?
Correct. I moved here in April.
So still newish. And,
newish.
Tell us what brought you to Sandpoint.
The question, what brought you to Sandpoint? You know, some people I've met here have been like, oh, I came up here to visit and I just immediately fell in love and had to figure out a way to move up here. I actually have been pretty nomadic in my life and have moved around a whole lot. And I had a friend who grew up here and I did come to visit and was like, oh, this seems like a cool spot. I was looking for a little bit more water in my life. I will say that there's maybe more water here than I was anticipating, particularly with the recent rains on the snow. I also came up here to work for Moose Meadow Farm for the summer over in Clark Fork, and ended up staying and was lucky enough to get on with Friends of Scotchman Peak. So before Idaho, I was living mostly in Oregon, in central and eastern Oregon, so a little bit more dry desert area. And I come from the outdoor education, adventure education industry. And previous to that, even was in trail crew. So I've worked in the outdoors with people for a really long time, and have been excited about the adventures I've been able to find up here as well.
Are you originally from Eastern Oregon?
Yeah, originally from Eastern Oregon. My family worked for the Forest Service, so we moved around a decent amount, but mostly in Oregon. And I went to high school in LeGrand and lived in Willow County, which actually is pretty close to here, just about a 5-hour drive. But.
Yeah. So if your family worked for the Forest Service, you've been kind of around the outdoors, even as a career, your entire life. Did you ever have a rebellious period where you said, no, I'm going to go live in the big city or something like that?
I did have a rebellious period, but it did not include big city.
Okay.
I always wanted to work in the outside world and the outdoors. Mm-hmm. I never wanted a cubicle type job, and was lucky enough to find youth conservation work actually when I was 18. And that really steered me into the world of the outdoors. Cause yeah, when I was a kid, I thought the only way that you could work in the outdoors was to be a biologist for the Forest Service. And so I was happy to find other things than being a biologist.
Yeah.
It's so in addition to work, you enjoy recreating in the outdoors in quite a variety of ways. Tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, my garage, you know, the garage that people park their cars in usually is just full of gear from my housemates and I. My most recent endeavors I've been enjoying have been bike packing and pack rafting, and then combining the two into what's known as bike rafting. So you ride a bike with your pack raft on it, and then you pack raft with your bike on it. And this summer I had the opportunity to do that in Montana on the Blackfoot River. And it's super fun. It's pretty logistically complicated, which I also really enjoy.
I don't want to hold up the conversation too much here. So you're carrying, so when you're riding on your bike, what's on your back?
I have a backpack on my back, and okay. My bike has a bunch of different bags on, like a mm-hmm. frame bag and a harness bag. And I have a pack raft, which is kind of like an inflatable kayak, but smaller. It weighs 8 pounds and it rolls up pretty small. And so I put that on my handlebars with the paddles, and people look at you really funny when you're biking down the road with paddles sticking off the handlebars.
Uh-huh. Now that much I can envision, but the trouble I have is, where does the bike go when you're rafting?
Yeah. And so then you get to the river and you blow up your pack raft, and you can fit all of your camping gear inside the tubes of the pack raft. And then you take your bike apart. You can take one wheel off or both wheels off, and you strap it to the front of the pack raft, which kind of looks like a kayak. So then you're going down the river with a bike on it, and all the rafters are like, what are you doing with a bike on your boat? But it's a really fun way to explore multiple different kinds of environments. And to just press, you know, like it's fun.
and this is a real thing that other people do, or you just invented this?
No, it's a real thing other people do. Yeah. There's okay. actually a whole book that just came out about it.
Wow. That's cool. I've never even heard of that. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
I might have to try it.
Yeah. You should definitely, it's super fun. Yeah. And so then beyond that, I ski right now. I'm actually working part-time up at Schweitzer so that I can get in some good ski days and also interface with all the people that come up there. I mountain bike, I've rock climbed in the past. I really love expedition rafting. And to be honest, I love long walks with my dog Spatula. So,
well, and what kind of dog is Spatula?
Well, she's a rescue mutt. She was about 25 pounds. She's probably like a Corgi Chihuahua Ridgeback mix.
Okay. So speaking of outdoor recreation, what is on the schedule for the Friends of Scotchman Peaks, like right now at this time of year, what are you guys doing?
Right now we're not doing anything because it's holiday season and everybody's gone.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. But starting in early January, actually, we have a winter hike program. So we have volunteers sign up to lead hikes in the Scotchman's, and we currently have 8 hikes scheduled, starting with our inaugural kickoff hike up Regal Creek on January 8th. And that one is full. You're welcome to sign up on the wait list, but it is currently full, which is exciting. And then we have a few Ross Creek Cedars hikes, including a family day and a Nordic ski day. We have 2 Star Peak hikes, one that just filled up as well. But again, sign up for the wait list if you're interested. We have a Dry Creek snowshoe. So most of these are going to be snowshoe hikes, and we're, you know, fingers crossed for good weather. Check out our website. And then if you don't have snowshoes and you would like some, we have some snowshoes to borrow. So just let your hike leader know that you would like to borrow some, and we can get you out there in a group of people exploring the snowy Scotchman Peak wilderness. And then
you continue.
I was going to say the next thing we do is winter tracks, but if you had another question about the hikes, I'm open.
Oh, I was just kind of curious, like what kind of experience level, if a person's listening to this and wants to participate. I know you said the Regal Creek one is sold or all full up, but if somebody wanted to participate, what kind of gear would they need to provide for themselves, and how comfortable, I mean, how much hiking should they have done in the past for some of these trails?
Yeah, great question.
Or snowshoeing, sorry.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. We have a variety. So most of the ones we have are sort of easy to moderate. The Star Peak, particularly the Star Peak that goes to the top, is definitely a steep climb, but we are welcome and inclusive of all levels and abilities, meaning that we're not just going to like leave you in the dust. So I think it's a great way, especially if you're sort of nervous about getting out snowshoeing or getting out into the snow, joining a Scotchman Peak hike is a great way to start in on the endeavor. And generally speaking, you're going to want warm layers, rain layers, water, snacks, and good boots. And like I said, snowshoes, if you don't have any, we have some to borrow. And we watch the weather, and we're not about suffering really bad. So if it's raining on snow, sort of like it has been recently, or if it's a high of -5 and windy, we will potentially cancel the hike. Mm-hmm. We're not into making people suffer out there. Yeah. Want it mm-hmm. to be an enjoyable experience.
Safety first. Mm-hmm. Also, for folks who might not be able to make one of the scheduled hikes, I believe the hiking map has information on it about year-round availability of some of the trails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And the website has really good directions. Honestly, the Scotchman Peak website has some of the most comprehensive information about trails in the area that you're going to find on the internet, which is what I discovered when I moved here. So we do good work.
Yeah. You were going to talk, I think, about the Winter Tracks program, and tell us more about that. What is the Winter Tracks program?
Yeah, great. So the other thing we have going on in the wintertime is working with area school children, both in, we work with Bonner County and then Lincoln County and Sanders County over in Montana. And we currently work mostly with elementary school students, and they come out for a day and basically hang out outside and learn from our expert volunteers about anything from tree ID to bear awareness to mammals to wilderness ethics. They spend some time out in the snow drinking some hot cocoa. And we have currently 13 days scheduled for that, with about 550 students, approximately signed up for it. So it's pretty exciting. It's basically every Friday from mid-January to mid-March.
Wow. Yeah, that's every single Friday. That's a busy schedule for that. Is that normal? Like for pre-pandemic, we were talking before about, you know, pre and post, is this kind of back to normal levels or same as last year, or how would you compare it? From what you know, anyway, in your new position, is this back to normal or not?
Yeah. In my vast experience of digging through all of the paperwork that's on our server, it actually seems like it's a little bit busier than pre-pandemic. We did run some online programs last year. And as you can imagine, they were not as, people are just excited to be in real life outside. And so this year we have, I think, a few more than we've had previous years.
Yeah, I can jump in a little bit there and just say that the program has evolved over the years in terms of the number of schools involved and the number of locations and number of days. And it continues to track upwards despite the burp last year with the shift online. I think even the number of students reached last year online was greater than the number of students reached the year before. And so participation levels continue to rise. And I think it's just a testimony to the desire for this kind of education and interactiveness that students have, schools have, and the value of it to really get kids out and get them some exposure to the opportunities that are available and the natural resource information.
Is it like a classic field trip, like everybody in the yellow school bus and away we go, or that kind of thing?
It is. Yeah. Yep. Everybody gets in the yellow school bus. The yellow school bus drives for Bonner County. We mostly operate out of Round Lake State Park. It's a really good venue for us. And so while it's not technically in the Scotchman's area. It is still, you know, here in North Idaho, and it's a really fantastic venue. And yep, they get on the school bus and they come out there and drink some hot cocoa, like I said, which is really my favorite part, even though I haven't been there yet, but that's what I can imagine is the best part. And then a variety of places over in Northwestern Montana is where we operate.
Well, that's Round Lake is a good place for it. I don't know. I can't speak to the other places in Northwest Montana, but I could see having a fun day at Round Lake.
Round Lake's a fabulous venue. And just as a teaser for our listeners, if all goes according to plan, next week's guest and topic will be Mary McGraw, the park superintendent at Round Lake, about all of the things they have coming up for the winter and next year.
Cool. I haven't been out to Round Lake in far too long now. It's been a couple of years, I guess. So I'm going to have to get out there. I'll look forward to that interview, Phil. Yeah. Let's see. Where were we? Is that pretty much the extent of what's going on in your world this winter,
Corey? Yeah, that's winter programming. And then, you know, as I think a lot of seasonal type jobs or organizations go, we're spending the winter doing a lot of prep work for the spring and summer seasons. And we do a lot of trail maintenance and trail work and trail ambassadorship over in the Scotchman. So just creating a schedule for that, looking at having about 17 trail work days over there. And like I said, looking at the schedule and getting those to the Forest Service and the land management agencies and collaborating with that. So that's the other thing that I've been working on, a little bit behind the scenes stuff. I'm looking forward to summer, a good summer season.
Yeah, the trail world right now, this is the planning time for next summer. It's just, it takes an awful lot of advanced logistics to pull off a successful trail program in the summer.
Yeah, and it starts now, which I think, I mean, I'm a little surprised by, it's this early is the planning season. We're speaking here in late December, so...
In the world of grants and government agreements, things take time to process through the various levels of bureaucracy and chain of command and decision making. So it's time to start getting all of the days in a row.
Well, what else is coming up for the Friends of Scotchman Peaks in terms of that listeners to the radio station might be able to participate in? Any other events coming up? Yeah.
Nice lead in question there. Yeah. Save the date. We got a couple of save the dates. January 13th, we have a pint night at McDuff's, and it's a low key celebration of the 17th anniversary of the very first Friends of Scotchman Peak Wilderness meeting that happened the second week of January 2005. So coming out to McDuff's that night, I believe it starts at around 5 and goes for the evening. And then the other thing to save the date for is February 25th. We have the Wild and Scenic Film Festival happening. Tickets are on sale now for that. And you can attend in person or online as well. And I think the films that we've chosen for that seem to be very inspiring. I don't think I saw any pack rafting or bike rafting films online, but some really great wild and scenic films.
Well, you're going to have to get a GoPro to take along on your next trip so you can produce a film.
Yeah, and then also work with a film producer, because I'm not. But yeah, those are the two.
Yeah, I was seeing the same thing. Yeah,
we're kind of coming down to a close of the formal questions we had arranged for Corey. But anything else on your mind, Corey, you'd like to share or talk about?
Oh, I don't actually have anything else. I am very excited to be here in Bonner County and working for Friends of Scotchman Peak Wilderness. I feel like I'm learning a lot, and I'm very excited for the learning curve. And I'm really excited to get out and meet a bunch of elementary school students and volunteers coming up soon. Get off the Excel spreadsheets and get out into the field. I'm very excited for that.
Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is your first winter in this kind of climate? Is that what I'm to understand? Or were you here last year?
I was not here last year. Yeah, I came in April. I've lived in a lot of winter environments, although I will say I lived in Leadville, Colorado, which has a long winter, but it's a little bit sunnier there than it is trending towards here.
Yeah. So are you, you knew sort of what to expect anyway. You got studs on your car or whatever.
Yes. I drive a very snow ready vehicle, which I'm thankful for in the frozen slush we have right now.
Yes. It is something else out there anyway. And when this airs, actually the forecast says it's going to be even,
cold,
even wilder. Yeah. Cold coming in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, for listeners, we'll know more on Tuesday, but the prediction is for single digits next week. So bundle up.
Woo-hoo. Well,
Jack, I think we've covered everything. What are you thinking here in terms of wrapping the show up?
I think you're right. I think we're about there. I wish we had gotten some kind of really revealing personal detail from Corey, but that's okay. I think we have a good broad picture, and maybe next time we talk, we can
we'll dive a little deeper even, but
yeah,
we want to thank Corey Callahan, program coordinator for the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness, for joining us on the show today. And Jack, it's great to have you back. Even if it's a virtual studio here, someday we'll return to in-person interviews. But it's been a pleasure working with you again, Jack.
I agree. Yeah, it's been great to be on more or less on the air with you again, Phil. Yeah. In this, not even in the same room, but we are here together.
Well,
and I like that. Yeah.
As we sign off on the last Tuesday morning show community conversation of the year, I'd like to thank all of our listeners, those who have been with us for a long time or tuning in for the first time. And if you tuned in a little late and missed any of the beginning and like to listen to the full interview, it will be available as a podcast later on in the day at krfy.org. And if you happen to be traveling and are outside of our listening range, you can always listen to us live streaming also at the website, krfy.org. And we want to thank our listeners for supporting community radio for North Idaho. Commercial-free community radio takes a public to support it. We appreciate our dedicated listeners and members and underwriters. Thank you all.
Thanks, Phil.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Phil. I would just like to say thanks specifically since I'm here, it occurs to me that I should thank you and Julie for the good work you've done this year. Here it has been another strange year for KRFY, but you guys have both stuck it out and put out a great show every week. So thank you on behalf of other listeners to the radio station for doing that.
Thank you, Jack. We'll all look forward to a future that's bright and wonderful in 2022.
I know. Yes. For listeners, I mean, it's all up in the air as it has been for a long time, but we are hoping to get back to your more regularly scheduled KRFY morning show with live in the studio starting sometime next year, as soon as we feel it's, safe and practical to do so. So look forward to that. We're coming back.